What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
What's going on, family? That's right. That was the old intro to one of my podcasts that I did a little back, a little ways back. So, you know, I had to pop that on. I was going through the Rolodex. So, you know what I'm saying? But, well, not the Rolodex. I was going through the files. I was going through the crates, digging to the crates. You know what I'm saying? Look what I found. But well, anyways, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I'm glad you're here to join me for this festive occasion. And, you know, one of the things that, and by the way, you already know, you just can't leave. So, shout out to, you know, as we do our station ID for this Philly Fridays broadcast, Philly Fridays edition. We're on Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com. You can also catch us on all of your mobile apps, your streaming apps, at the True Stories Podcast Network, the True Stories Podcast Network. We are blowing it up, and you know, we're out here, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I want to thank everybody, you know, for coming through. And man, it is frigid outside, B. It is record cold, like record levels of cold. In my entire life living in Philadelphia, I've never experienced cold like this. And, you know, for all the people that are talking about, oh my God, you know, we're dealing with global warming and climate change. This and yeah, well, this is, man, it's like an ice age out here. My nuts is freezing up and shit. You know what I'm saying? But we making it happen. We making it do what we do. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, I want to shout out to some of my young brothers, man, because as y'all know, you know, I can't really do a lot of things physically just yet. I'm getting to that point, but I'm still, like, kind of working my way back to being 100% out here. But, so, you know, I'm sitting here and, you know, just trying to feel like, damn, it's a foot of snow outside. Cars all covered, supposed to ice up. No, what am I gonna do? And next thing you know, I hear a knock at the door. And these young brothers, you know, knocking on the door, asking if, you know, they could shovel out the, you know, shovel in front of my house and take care of that. Bet. Knocking the car? Yes, sir. All right. We negotiated our rate. And then I was like, man, you know, appreciate y'all. Y'all pulled up, man. Y'all don't know how bad I needed this. So, you know, then they reminded me. They said, yo, you don't remember us. They said, yo, we're the kids that used to come by and, you know, used to have us on the block cleaning up the block. I said, holy smokes. Like, it blew me away, right? Because I'm sitting there like, wow, all the times. And I, you know, and I'm going to really dig into this in a few. But I wanted to start off with this because this just goes to show, like, when they say you sow, you reap what you sow. That's not always for when you do bad deeds. That's also getting a return on your investment. And when you invest in these young people, they come back and take care of you. And that's a message I've been trying to spread for a long time. And to see it happen in real time, it just blew my mind. I'm not going to hold you. Like, it wasn't. And then they still talk about the fact that they have pictures that we were taking from back in the day. We used to take group pictures because it wasn't just us cleaning up the block. You know, I would hold Freedom Schools on my porch every Saturday, feeding them breakfast. You know, shout out to my good sister, Reverend Pastor Dr. Shonda Williams, you know, who I interviewed not too long ago as vice president of the Philadelphia chapter of the NAACP. But in addition, she was like helping me with providing the meals and things of that nature for these children. So she would pull up, and I think she had a deal with Wawa. And so she would pull up, and man, you know, I heated up the food, and those kids had something to eat every time. They were just having a ball out the porch. So, you know, it's like what they say, man, what goes around comes around. And so when it came around a big way. So it's just a lesson to y'all. You know, watch how y'all treat these young folk out here. Y'all talking about respect your elders, man. Y'all better respect these young folk. You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, as we go, you know. Yeah. Let's get into it, right? I want to point out something, right? Because speaking of people that give back to the community, one of my dear brothers out in West Philly Produce, Arnett Woodall. Well, you know what? I'm just gonna play the clip for y'all. I'm just gonna play the clip and I'm gonna come back to it. All right, I'm gonna play it and I'll come back to it, and then we'll be able to, you know, lace everything up by, you know, after that, because it'll make a little more sense. All right, so check this out. You know, we got some good news about Philly though, bro. Well, not some good news, but you know, we got some Philly stuff that's good going on.
So yes, this is a good brother from Philly. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Hey, I guess since we said something about Philly, Ben Crump talked like he got mud in his mouth, so we can even it out from Tallahassee.
Man, you don't know no damn Ben Crump. No, I'm just kidding.
So right. Go ahead, PC, but and I'll make sure I get this in the description as well. But we want to support West Philly Produce.
Yeah, correct? West Philly Produce. And thank you again, Joe, for, you know, allowing us to use your platform to speak on something that's really important and near and dear to our community here in Philly. The person that is a cornerstone of the community, that is a stand-up guy, my good brother Arnett Woodall, who took a dilapidated drug corner in West Philadelphia and from the ground up built the brick and mortar building that he now housed the store, West Philly Produce, providing fresh food and produce to the community. Many days of the week, there's tables outside of his establishment where people can get free food, you know, bags of groceries, whatever they need. And many families come by 4 or 5 days a week. Those tables are full, but unfortunately right now, he's dealing with some financial hardships, and he could really use the community's help. So linked in this particular video in the description will be his fundraiser. He has a GoFundMe that was set up by another brother out in California who knows the good brother well. And we just want to make, we just, you know, hope that those who watch the show can truly take part in donating some of your time, money, and energy into a Philadelphia institution, a black institution in Philadelphia that's been in place for over 20-something years and has done the job at keeping our children safe, teaching our children important tools in entrepreneurship and leadership and also employment, and providing a safe haven. It's a community hub that a lot of people use and recognize. So once again, you know, West Philly Produce, and spell Philly like P-H-I-L-L-I-E.
Yep.
All right. West Philly Produce and my good brother Arnett Woodall out there at 62nd and Ludlow in West Philly. And it's right below the Market Street line, the 62nd and Market. So if you get a chance, man, pull up, stop through, say hi to them, let them know you saw us here on the Shoulders of Giants, but also hit that link, family. The man said earlier, you know, black people can take care of themselves if we choose to. So let's take care of, you know, a brother that's been taking care of many of us for a long time. Because I recall during the pandemic when people were afraid to come outside, that man was still providing food to the community for people who could not get out to the stores. I'll know because I was one of the people that was delivering those goods to people in the community. So thanks again, Joe. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, man, once again, support fresh food for West Philadelphia families, West Philly Produce. The goal is to raise $10,000 to help West Philly Produce to continue to give back to the neighborhood, to the community that they have been pouring into. So this comes down to one of those things of black people. Come on now. So an entity that has been pouring into you, it's time for you to step up and pour back into this entity. The link is in the description for you to support Mr. Arnez Woodall and West Philly Produce. Step up, black people. Once again, this is an entity that has been pouring into the black community. Now it's time for the black community to step up and pour back into an entity that has been there for it so it can continue giving to the community. West Philly Produce needs your help. Link is in the description. Let's make it happen.
And I want to thank again my good brother Joseph Ward for letting us use his platform over there at you know, on the Shoulders of the Giants, and he Patrick Irvin and myself, we do a reaction show on Fridays. It airs on Fridays, so for those of you who are not, you should subscribe to the channel. It's up and it's doing the damn thing, okay? But I appreciate him doing that for my good brother Arnett. And like I said, man, there's going to be a GoFundMe attached in the description of this particular clip. So hopefully those of you who are, people can just... do what they can to help out, to help a Black Philly institution. He doesn't just feed the West Philadelphia community. He has satellite places that receive the food and a lot of the benefits that he provides. So, and for those like that corner. For those of you who don't know, that corner was Kensington. Like we talk about K&A in Philadelphia and Kensington Beach. The exact spot used to be a vacant lot that his business sits on. That actually was Kensington K&A before K&A. Like people from Delaware County out there in West Philly, they would all come there and be right there in that lot where his building now sits on top of. And so, you know, make sure you come through, pull up, and show the brother some love, man. And, you know, just remind us as to why we do it for each other. You know what I'm saying? A lot of sacrifices go in a lot of times. And then sometimes we don't feel the love back. You know what I'm saying? So show our brother some love. Make sure you support this crowdfunding opportunity or situation for him. Because he rarely ever asks the community. He's always a giver. So this would be a good time for him, West Philly, and all the people out there to receive. So, you know, pull up. And as we move forward. Yeah, family, you know, one of the things that I want to get into is, and this is a piece real quick that should resonate with a lot of you brothers, because a lot of you brothers have been in this situation. Check out how this brother handled this particular situation.
Now, this guy here is smart, because this is exactly how you're supposed to handle this situation. Y'all check this out.
So apparently she went out, got into an argument with a man. Mm-hmm. Got to arguing with him and stuff like that. And then I guess like he tried to get physical with her. Mm-hmm. So she ended up leaving the club or whatever. Her friend stayed, she left. She ended up texting the guy that she was dating, telling him about what was going on. Instead of him jumping to her defense, he said, first of all, you wasn't even supposed to be there tonight.
Yep. Yeah, not that different.
Secondly, why would you argue with a man in a club and yep. I'm not there?
Yep. Yeah.
Third of all, why would you argue with the man in a club, period? You don't know this man. You don't know what he got outside in this trunk. You don't know nothing. So basically, he told her, you're wrong. You know, you don't listen. Mm-hmm. You're at this point, I don't even want to deal with you no more because you won't even allow me to leave. You don't listen to nothing that I say.
Yep.
I'm not about to lose my future. I'm not about to lose my life
yep.
because I'm defending you when you decided to be dumb in that moment.
That man did exactly what he was supposed to do. Kick this chick to the curb. She was nothing but a current problem, and she was definitely going to be a future problem. The fact that he even had to tell her all that is the first problem. He shouldn't even have to say that to her. And I don't like chicks like this. This is the type of chick that wants you to get caught up in some garbage and fighting and all this dumb stuff over her. And I say that because she called and told him about what happened right after she left the club because she was looking for him to respond. Now, she's going to probably lie and say, no, that's not it. I just wanted to share it with him. No, you wanted him to say something, to do something, like he was going to protect you. But that man wasn't on that type of time. And I'm so proud of this brother too, because so many men would have probably tried to make her happy and do whatever he thought she would have wanted, but not that dude. And I can tell that dude got some standards, and he has respect for himself for not even getting involved in that situation. In this game of life, you have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And that was the time to fold them. There was nothing good that was going to come from that chick. If she's doing this now, you know she's going to be doing it later. And like he said, you don't want to risk or lose everything you built up to this point because your girlfriend don't listen to you, can't control her mouth, and is willing to argue with a strange dude in a public place. Yeah, I'm cool on that. But anyway, leave your thoughts in the video. Appreciate you watching. See you next time.
So, so you know, and it's funny, right? Because those are situations we constantly find ourselves in. And you're dealing with a woman that's mouthy. She feels as though she doesn't have to answer to you. In the heat of the moment, it's going to be a conflict. But that's your area of protection, right? And I don't understand why people don't realize that is a man's protection. Prevention is what they say. An ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to tell her, listen, don't go out to the club. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want. Go out to the club, get in trouble. Now, see, and I want to correct what the brother said. He said, because then she wants protection. No. Imagine if you go and you say, listen, we don't go swimming out there in the middle of the ocean because these are, you know, potentially shark infested waters. And somebody say, well, I'm still going to go swimming. You're like, all right then, okay. And they decide to get into the water. Now they're surrounded by sharks. They're screaming in the water, help, help, somebody come help me. See, you're not looking for protection at that point. You're looking to be rescued. And you know, going to a club is like going into a shark infested environment. Not a lot of great things are going to come out of it. In fact, the probability of something crazy happening is quantified in locales where people are going, they're drunk out of their minds. A lot of people, you don't know why they're going to the club. Some people say, man, I've had a bad day all day. I'm going to go to the club so I can feel good. But they go into the club already on one. You just don't know what you're going to encounter in that environment. It's one of the most unpredictable things you can think of in terms of going into a place like that, right? So, fellas, man, you got to know your worth. That brother said, listen, I can't afford for you to jeopardize my future. You know how many men are in jail right now, or how many men are in the cemetery right now, or permanently disabled right now? Because they, you know, on the whims of going up up against another brother or somebody else because of something their woman got into. As our elder Shahrazad Ali said, a black woman is quick to book a black man for a fight that he didn't ask for. And brothers, y'all got to be aware of that and who you're out with, who you're dealing with. Because if that happens, she doesn't respect you. And why would you be dealing with somebody that doesn't respect you? And if it's a situation where, you know, you like her, she might like you, but she don't know how to respect you. Some sisters have grown up and they have been in situations their entire lives where they don't know how to shut the fuck up. They don't know how to take a step back. They don't know how to disrespect. I said in a couple episodes ago, disrespect is the love language from black women to black men. It's how we grew up in the house. It's how we grew up in the families in many cases. The women really were in charge in many cases. The buck stopped with them. And I tell y'all, I go all the way back to the plantation. That's not a cultural thing, and you know what I'm talking about in African cultures. That wasn't like that in African cultures. That's why you can name all of the African queens. You can name them all. That took over chiefdoms and things of that nature. That was anomalies. And I'm saying all women can't lead. No, but not in a situation like that where a person is going to have to, like, the physical aspect of it all. You are expected to step in between her and harm if you're out with her, period. So she shouldn't dictate to you what direction the harm comes from. You understand, gentlemen? I hope you got the message. Because a lot of people right now are ruined or had to restart or reset their lives because of the unfettered ego of some women and the uncontrollable nature in which they just have to say something. Just shut the hell up. We was almost out of here. But I digress. I digress. And one of the reasons I want to really talk to you brothers is because I want to really talk about like the things you do. Like the brother said, he has value. He acknowledged that. He has a future. He acknowledged that. And so in the process of acknowledging all of that, the one thing that's clear is he knows what he's worth. And a lot of times, the things we do, it gets downplayed to the point where we don't remember who we are anymore. It's like when Simba, during the Lion King, had to look in the water. When the monkey, Rafiki, the monkey, took him to the water to show him, he said, this is who you are. And he had to look in the water to remember that he was the son of royalty, son of the king. A lot of times we gotta go back to that water. Really was just a look in the mirror, right? And so that took me to something because, man, I've been doing this work. I've been really doing this work. So I want y'all to hear just a little bit of the work that I've been doing. This is just a smidget. But sometimes, you know, you have to, you know, reintroduce yourself. What to say? What did Jay-Z say? Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho. Right? Okay. So let me just show y'all a little something and share a little something from, you know, days that I was out there just speaking, right? This ain't even the work, but this is a reflection of the work, you know. So let me let y'all listen to some of my engagements. This one right here is, I'm not sure whether or not this is a Malcolm X day or a Juneteenth thing. It was one of these occasions several years ago, but check this out.
Good person in the black community, I can't even speak on all of them. When you go over here, my brother in the corner, and you see that brother had a museum. That brother had a museum talking about the history of black people in this city. I mean, excuse me, in this country, and the voyage over. That museum's not here anymore. We're losing our history because we don't support it. That's what I'm passionate about, because I speak to the people in the grassroots. I speak to the people on the ground. I speak to the people who are actually out there doing work for a living for black people. Can I ask you something? What did Malcolm and Martin die for? If we were able to resurrect their spirit and have them channel in right now and ask them if their death was worth it, what do you think their answers would be? What do you think their answers would be? You want me to recap the last week of Malcolm's life? Okay, there was an ambush in Los Angeles Airport that they tried to kill. They had to have a flight diverted from Los Angeles to Chicago. When he got back to New York City, when he tried to drive around, they tried to drive the cab driver tried to drive into an ambush. They had to pull a gun on the cab driver to take him back to the airport. When he got home, they blew up his house. The day before he died, they blew up his house. Who wants to go through all that to see us not act on the things they were trying to build, the foundations they were trying to create? What would make somebody want to be a liberator for a people that won't stand behind them? And we need more community work. You see these young people out here on the street, talk to them. These young brothers out here, listen, I catch young brothers in their late teens and early 20s cussing like sailors while elders are present, or young children or ladies or sisters are present. I can't just not address that situation, but I'm not their dad. I'm not their father. I don't have to have a testosterone-driven moment to deal with these young brothers. So sometimes all I have to do is say, young brother, why you want to watch your language? You got some elders in here. Not one time have I ever gotten a negative response from the brothers. Now, I can't approach the young sisters because, man, that comes with a little more tact and skill. I done got cussed out by some 12-year-olds. Kiss your mother with that mouth? I used to break up fights on the corner of my block during my radio show. I used to do a radio show called From the Front Porch with Professor Carl Tone Jones right there in 19th and Butler. And it would always be a group of girls fighting on the corner, and I would have to leave my show to break up the fight on the corner. And that's a dangerous thing when you're a man trying to break up a fight with a bunch of girls, because they don't necessarily make it easy, and they got ways of maneuvering. They're a little slicker than the guys. You know, the guys throw punches, but they wait for somebody to break it up. Girls trying to get at each other. But what I'm saying is, you got to be present. And I'm not even telling you got to go back to communities that are being gentrified. If you want my true opinion about gentrification, I think that fight is over. They've been planning gentrification for the last 30, 40 years. This is the implementation stage. But what I will tell you is that there might be a need for a southern migration. you know, they had an upper northern migration. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of abandoned places that black people own and run in the South. A lot of land that they can't control is overgrown. The houses are falling apart. And they need an infusion of wealth from so-called wealth centers like Philadelphia. You might want to consider that, because in those places, you do have the numbers. Some of these places have a 90% black population already. In those places, you can start talking politics. Because when you talk politics from a nationalist perspective, it's not just showing up in November to vote. It's not just showing up for the primary to vote. No, you're talking about creating your own policies. You're talking about building up your own politicians. You're talking about creating situations where we own the politics, we own the politician, and we own the laws around it. Where you can start doing things to create favorable land grants and favorable things for the town councils and city councils that you promote and support. Solutions. That's what we do with the Independence Day Project. That's what we talk about, building and making solutions. I hope that $20 that it costs don't scare you away. So many people are looking for it on YouTube. You won't find it there.
And that's not, and see, the funny part about that is you heard solutions. How many times when you're talking to people and you hear people talking, and what do they say? Oh, but what are the solutions though? We tired of hearing the problem. What are the solutions? And you offer them the solutions in the room, you can hear a rat, a mouse caught running across or pissing on cotton. Because we know that it's just a bunch of filibuster, it's just a bunch of people trying to filibuster, you know, situations, circumstances, that they're not really interested in the solutions. You want to hear solutions? I got more solutions. Hold up, check this out, right? Hold up. I got to make sure I got the right joints in there and the right spaces and the right places. Check this clip out. You know, this is an interview. Shout out to my brothers with By the Hood, right? This is just me responding to a question regarding, you know, potential solutions, economic solutions to circumstances and crises that we're facing downtrodden communities like the black community, like the one I'm a part of. All right, check this out.
Get the confidence of the people. And in order to get the confidence of the people, you have to control the things that they need. You have to be able to be the resource for the things that they need. So that's where the eco sovereignty comes into play. Because it's sort of like that, you know, we're tackling the hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. And that first level of hierarchy of needs is food, clothing, shelter, protection, security, things of that nature. Well, if you are not providing those things, you can't have a nation, because the nation itself stands on the principle that the people that are within that nation are protected by those who are governing them. And so when we speak about eco-sovereignty, we're talking about actually taking control of our resources. We're talking about being the providers of food, the providers of shelter, the provider of clothes. That means we need to go out and get our own land. That means we need to be able to cultivate that land. That means we need to be able to pull and draw from the land and all the resources provided. So
once again, you know, like I said before, man, I don't play that game where, you know, we're out here fronting and pretending, you know, and but not putting ourselves in position. You heard the term eco-sovereignty, right? Like those are the ways. Those are where the concepts that we were talking about when I was actually a part of so-called black liberation movements and struggles, right? That's what those are the things that I was talking about. And I'm saying I, because everybody's not always on the same page. And this is one of the reasons why I had to leave all those movements alone, because everybody is not in it for the same reason you're in it. I'm in it to liberate the people. Some people are in it to liberate themselves, utilize the people to liberate themselves to become, you know, pseudo celebrities in that particular community and so forth. I could care less about becoming a celebrity or a star. In fact, the more I learn about it, the more I wish I would have been more anonymous about who I was when I spoke on topics, then, because the things that come with that, everybody ain't built for. I might not even be built for it, right? So I did a film. And I want y'all to just this is a short clip of the film. Well, it's really like a movie short, all right, for my film called The Independence Day Project. All right, I've talked about it before, and like I said, you know, I'm doing this right here, this particular broadcast, because for once in a while, I'm popping my collar. You know what I'm saying? Because so many people are like, well, who are you to say this and who are you to say that? And how did you get from there to here? Right? But, you know, so maybe some of you don't know who I am. So this is me allowing you, please allow me to reintroduce myself. All right? So check this out, right? I want y'all to check this out because this is one of the joints that I did. All right? Produced, put together, created. It was my whole concept. I even took part in it. All right? I'm just going to let it play.
What does an independent black community, free of the system of white supremacy, look like to you?
Key thing for me is wrapping our minds around what we mean by independence, you know, and I think that there's a difference between freedom and independence.
It looks like mind, it's like harmony, it's like quality, it looks like peace, it's like, you know, everything that we are striving for in this world.
Independence is when you have your own sovereignty. Not a puppet sovereignty, but when you have your own government, your own sovereignty over the people who look out for the best interests of the people.
One that we are using our skills to offer, to barter and trade, to educate.
Just a community where everybody is working in unison, attempting to uplift the entire community first and foremost.
A community does three things for its people. It provides, it protects, and it communicates.
First of all, I think for us, by us wouldn't be just a slogan or a catchphrase. It would be our actual way of life. It would be what is normal for us.
We're going to be the ones that set up the different systems economically.
It's much cheaper to exhaust your own human capital than it is to have someone else pimp you for their human capital.
I think we would have gotten rid of the rugged individualism that plagues a lot of us and keeps us kind of, you know, acting as like animals, you know, sometimes kind of with a dog-eat-dog mentality, like, you know, trying to get over. Because, you know, within capitalism, a lot of times you're forced into those positions. We have to make those decisions to try to exploit another person so that you can eat that night.
Black people, African people, we have to learn how to start our own commerce now with ourselves in the mirror, in our families, in our friends, in our own small communities.
You don't boycott an institution. You build your own institutions so that when your institution is up and running, as you're investing and continue to invest in it, invest in it, invest in it, your institutions will provide you with the things you need. You don't have to boycott anything. You can just walk off the reservation, walk off the plantation, and never return. Never turn back. Never look back. Never go back.
We're going to be the ones that set up the different systems educationally.
Number one, the area is independence of information, education, and learning. You have to control that in your own village. As long as other people, other cultures, other forms are educating and providing the information and the learning processes for your people, you will not have power. You will not have self-determination.
Our babies might be waking up to go to an institution that they're being educated, you know, based off of, you know, our history or what they need to supersede the knowledge of themselves, their greatness.
We're going to be the ones that set up the different systems agriculturally because we govern and rule.
We demand, we want land. We want land. We want land and space. We want land. That's what we want. That's what we need. If it ain't about land, we not talking.
Certain things. It doesn't look like self-hate. It doesn't look like a chicken spot filling up my family with grease and, you know, things we shouldn't be eating. It doesn't look like Ock on the corner taking our money, selling us Lucy's, giving us Coca-Cola and Pepsi. It don't look like 3-4 churches on the block siphoning the funds out of our community.
Basically, what would be needed in this fully liberated 21st century black community is really a mind state of unapologetic operation.
We should begin to think about separating ourselves from the assimilation of the United States culture.
We have to divorce ourselves from the traditions, rituals, and customs that provide the re-education or the reapplication of white supremacy.
Culture is implemented in the home, amongst the family, and in the community.
Our entertainment will reinforce positive images, ideas, messages, and stereotypes of African people.
It's reflective of the institutions, if you control your own institutions within that community.
Local communities being connected together via economics, via communications, and other methods of connections to form a larger national community.
You know, culture is your folkways, your mores, your values, your principles, your ideas.
These communities being interconnected.
So our doctors, our lawyers, our accountants, our nutritionists, our political activists, our educators, and so many people come together.
We have not only the intelligence, because we built every other system on the planet, even including this American system itself, we built it, our intelligence and our physical labor.
So being independent, meaning I don't want any government funding, I don't want any outside sources to, because those people only will dictate to me what our community will have to do, and that is out of the question.
You can't be in and out, right? I need this consistently for me, because we got to fund this. We have to move this machinery. This machinery ain't going to stop because you don't want to get five hours next week. We still need that time, so we got to be committed to this.
We're talking about their cultural appropriation us because of our dances and things. How about we cultural appropriate them for their businesses? How about we look at their Fortune 500 corporations and see how they model those and study that infrastructure instead of worrying about a dance or anything else that's used for entertainment that's not bringing us any wealth?
No one has ever been enslaved in the history of man and fought to be equal with their oppressors. They fought for freedom. They fought for independence, to be independent away from their oppressors. So there's no such thing as equality.
So there's an African proverb that says, power must be handled in the manner of an egg. Handle it too firmly, it breaks. Too loosely, it falls. And I think that our issue right now is that we have mishandled power. We have not promoted or put forward responsible power from a black and African centered perspective. We have not created power that we could resist European and white supremacy incursion. And we are not using the power of courage and imagination to create a future for, a powerful future for black children.
We have to understand this is war. And whether you declared it, whether you want to acknowledge it, war has been declared on the black community in all different facets. So we have to address it as such.
And just as the colonists fought in those different ways, they fought intellectually, they came up with theory, radical theory, liberatory theory. They made new alliances and coalitions with people who were interested or sympathetic to them, right? And they actually fought with weapons. They engaged the enemy. They brought their little muskets out and whatever. And we're going to have to do that at some point, too.
It's crazy. Some people enjoy the ship as it sinks, you know, and some people's positions are very safe as the ship sinks. And I'm coming in to make some waves.
At some point, we have to challenge the oppressor. We're going to have to challenge their systems that are unjust and that engage in all levels of malfeasance. We're going to have to dismantle those systems and render them completely useless and then rebuild systems in their place, alternatives that work for us, that represent our views, values, and interests.
Can we do it? Absolutely. Can this project right here lead to it? Absolutely. Are the people involved in this project going towards that goal? Absolutely. We'll see you at the finish line.
Wait for it.
Because you're always nice.
Yeah, so that was a short and the question, and I should have read the question. The question was, so, you know, why do we do it, right? What was the purpose of why do we do it? Right. That was the question. And the answer to the question was the children, that was who you heard in the background because you owe it to us. It says, so why do we need an independent black community? That was the question. And the children's response was because you owe it to us. And that is, you know, that was my motivation for actually doing that film. So y'all thought y'all was dealing with a lightweight over here. Y'all didn't realize that y'all was dealing with somebody that, you know, that comes with that smoke. Y'all didn't know y'all was dealing with somebody that actually was knee deep in the movement. You know what I'm saying? Like all over the country. You know what I'm saying? Only places I haven't been is I haven't been international, but I'm in league with people internationally. You didn't. So the things I talk about is not based on just, you know, somebody that's, you know, trying to catch a wave or this, that, and the other. No. I talk this stuff from experience and where I come from. And, you know, hold up. You know what? I got one more for y'all. It's shorter. But because I was actually, you know, in the process of making a second film, but unfortunately we lost some people, you know, through the times, you know, there was a person that used to write the Black Agenda Report. His brother by the name of, Glenn Ford, Baba Glenn Ford, who was a former Black Panther in, Baltimore. And I met him and surprisingly to me, he knew who I was. And he was going to be a part, because the next part was going to be about liberation struggles in the different families. You know, I was going to talk to them. I was going to talk to, even though all of them weren't necessarily black nationalists, I was going to talk to, you know, the Move family, because, you know, I'm connected with, you know, I know the Move family. I know Mike Africa, Mama Pam Africa. Mama Ramona Africa. I know a lot, you know, I know the family, you know what I'm saying? So I was going to engage in that, but some of the people that were part of this project, they passed away. And then it was just like the first film was a lot. So, but I want y'all to pay attention to this joint right here, because this one was going to be called Practical Application. And it speaks to, you know, where we were going to go next with the whole the concept. So, you know, so hold tight, man. I want y'all to check this out. All right. You can't depend on your enemy to take care of you. They have shown that they have no intention of uttering or dealing with us in goodwill and good faith.
In our community, they say turn your guns in so you can get a coupon from Walmart. In these other communities, they're buying guns like crazy. The people who are turning in the guns are not the people who are shooting our brothers and sisters.
Young male, you're not gonna take this.
Right.
And so,
and that was a response that shook America to the core.
My purpose is to honor God, procreate, make sure our children have a legacy, and to, you know, what we call redeem the nation.
We have to reach out to these young brothers and sisters who are currently confused right now. That's our fault. We have to carry that weight. We didn't prepare them for the world they live in, and we did not nurture the world or terraform the world so that it could be a sufficient place for them to live in. So we have to atone. We have to atone for that now. And that's our reparation, is to our future, to our youth, to our babies. They deserve that. That's on us.
And so, yeah, so that was like the precursor and sort of the preview for the documentary that I was going to do, the next film that I was actually going to do for the Independence Day Project. So, and as you see, I call it the Independence Day Project because if you want to be free, you have to create your own form of independence. You know, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't free anybody. You know what I'm saying? The end of the Civil War didn't free anybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, it didn't liberate anybody. You had permission to walk off the plantation. You had permission to take off the shackles, you know, to walk past the gun line, but you did not have freedom. And so that's just a little bit about who I was and where I came from. You know, black nationalists, I'm still a black nationalist at heart, but the heart has been like heartbroken over the last, you know, decade or so, because quite frankly, not everybody wants liberation the same way in our community. And this is why I speak more so now to the brothers, because nobody really gives a damn if we as black men get a crumb. We're supposed to be under somebody's authority and control at all times. And that's not what you were born here to do. And I even got at the sisters, right? Because there was this whole amalgamation of, you know, the women walking around and doing all these affirmations, right? But affirmations are, well, let me just show y'all what I feel about affirmations. All right, hold on. Let me just, I'm telling you, I was at the gym one day and I was on the elliptical machine. I did this one. Hold up.
Yo, I see tons of messages from sisters talking about black men, I love you. Black men, you're valuable. Black men, you're this. Black men, you're that. And that's cool. Appreciate it. Appreciate all those affirmations. But when it comes to, you know, when we show love for sisters, we're always saying black women, you know what I'm saying, using terms like black girl magic, this, that, and the other. And we typically use shining examples. There'll be articles, victories, stories where the sisters have, you know,
triumph. Well, we need for y'all to start showing those examples to black men as well. When you want to talk about what black men are doing, show it. Show why black men are valuable. Show the article. Show the stories that about us winning. Because everything else is empty. And we need to start seeing more effort, sisters. Let's get it.
And, all right. Because what that is speaking to is the fact that, you know, it's lazy. Affirmations are lazy. All right. Especially when you want to talk about empowering somebody and you want to talk about your appreciation for somebody. Why do you appreciate them? Oh, black men, you're strong, you're beautiful. Man, fuck all that. What have black men done? Just talk about some of our accomplishments. This black man did this. These group of brothers over here doing this. This is why we appreciate you, black man. Don't sit here and sit no weak ass affirmations our way, because it doesn't take any effort, doesn't take any energy. Like I said before, when brothers is out there shouting out black women, we were actually identifying the different qualifiers for it. We were actually pointing out the places where they actually showed exceptionalism. We didn't see that. And we know black men are exceptional. We're the most exceptional men on the planet. Look at what we go through. How many other groups of people on the planet have had laws implemented against them, extermination campaigns placed against them for this amount of time? For 400 and some odd years on this continent, every single policy that was put in place to maintain the institutions and systems of white supremacy had a direct negative impact on black men. We didn't benefit from any of that shit. And the few times that black men were allowed to self-aggregate and build townships, build community and so forth, what did they do? They burned them down. They drowned them. They ran highways over them. They destroyed them anyway, economically. There was warfare against black people, specifically against black men. So this is why brothers always say, man, pop your collar, know your worth. You've accomplished a lot, even if you just took time out of your day every day to help somebody else. And don't be taken for granted anymore. And don't allow anybody to downplay the greatness that's within you. So with that said, man, you know, I thank everybody for tuning in, pulling up. Please make sure you go to the fundraiser for my good brother, Arnett Woodall, the GoFundMe. The link is going to be in the description. And help that brother out. That's another good brother that, you know, out there. Y'all have no idea, man. He's pulling people out the streets. He's saving people from shootouts. He's, you know, the brother's doing everything, but he just doesn't wear a cape. All right? So, as I always say, family, y'all be safe out there. Try to stay warm. It is fucking cold outside. Try to stay warm. All right? Be thankful for your shelter and be thankful for the things you have. All right? Don't beat anybody up. I'm gonna pistol whip anybody over parking space. I saw that not too long ago. That's crazy work. It ain't that deep. All right. And with that said, family, as I always say, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.